Hallelujah. Well, let's go back where we were this morning. Don't want to kind of recap too much of what was said already. I want to kind of try and move this forward. Amen. Our Father created us for a purpose. Do we know that? Have we got that down the inside of us? And really, the really number one purpose is to know Him. To know Him. Remember back there in Genesis chapter 1, it says, Elohim said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then it goes on and says, and let them. And have you ever been in a situation where there's been an us and them? And it's always been a place where there's been a division. It creates a division, or it expresses a division, or, you know, us and them, or there's us and them. But God began us and them. But us and them was never supposed to be divided. It was supposed to be an us and them working together in harmony. Amen. That's why Paul said, let there be no schism, let there be no division in the body. Who knows, even in the body of Christ, even in the church, there can be an us and them. And if we have that us and them mentality in regards to other members of the body of Christ, we need to know we're not living in the freedom that Christ came to give us. It is for freedom that Christ has made us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not drift away from that place of freedom. Freedom exists in the us and them of God and us. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, let us and then let them. Amen. God invented us and them, but wasn't us and them as a divided thing. The devil comes in there and he takes the truth and turns it and twists it and turns it into a lie. He takes what God created as good, and then he tries to corrupt that and pervert that in our understanding and in our thinking. Hallelujah. You can even recognize us and them and it not be a divisive thing. It can be a united thing. Amen. And if someone tries to lay that on you, oh well, there's us and you, you know, we're the us and you're the them, and you can say, well, thank you, Lord, that's great, fantastic, God bless you, I love you. You're not supposed to love me. We're us and you're them. Amen. But God said that, let us create man and then let them have dominion. Man was supposed to live in perfect dominion on the earth, to exercise dominion on the earth in perfect harmony with the will of God. That word dominion means sovereignty. That's what it means. That's what the original word means, sovereignty. It's the territory of a sovereign or a government as a noun. So, as we've been looking at this last wee while, how does the how much more that we've been speaking about of the new covenant, Jesus said, how much more shall my heavenly Father, how much more shall my heavenly Father give good things? How much more shall my heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus said, pray this way, your kingdom come. Those who know how to exercise dominion in the earth in perfect alignment with God's will and God's purpose, they invite His kingdom. They take their place of dominion in the earth and they invite His kingdom to come. The King's dominion to come. Hallelujah. So how does the how much more of the new covenant very often become the how much less of Christian experience? I touched on this this morning. I just want to repeat this little bit and then move on. So remember, if you try and, we spoke about this morning, if you try and order the kingdom of God around your life, instead of ordering your life around the kingdom of God, then you will drift away from your possession of freedom. Who knows what I'm talking about? You try and fit church. Well, what's church got to do with the kingdom? Everything. God expresses His kingdom through the church. Hallelujah. God created the earth and then He planted a garden and He put man in the garden. And man's purpose was to extend that garden across the face of the earth. Before you were born again, before you were a new creation, God planted a church. And when you were saved, He said you were added to that church. And He said, now take this church across the earth. Extend this church across the earth. If you think that church and kingdom are two different things, then you're wrong. God's kingdom is expressed through the church. Hallelujah. And if you've drifted away from that, you've drifted away from your possession of freedom. Some people think they're free because they don't go to church, because they're not part of a church, because they're not accountable in any local church. That's not freedom. You have been taken bondage again with a yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. It's okay, it's mild. Who knows, when Jesus went out to pray at night, sometimes early in the morning, the only occasion that we are really given a look at in the scripture and the gospel accounts at what he was doing and what was taking place there is when he takes Peter, James and John with him one day. And we call it, of course, the Mount of Transfiguration. Hallelujah. But what happened? What do we see happening there? We see him meeting with Moses and Elijah. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm right there in the midst. At that time, the disciples weren't in a place where they could really fully understand what was going on. Jesus was pouring into their lives, but he wasn't having a lot of fellowship. He wasn't having a lot of two-way fellowship with these guys. Most times when they opened their mouths, they got it wrong. You know what I'm talking about? So Jesus had to seek out fellowship, not only with his heavenly Father, but also with men. Because here he is. He's a man now. God has become a man. And he's living on the earth. He's left his throne in heaven and he's become a man. He's humbled himself according to Philippians chapter 2. And he's taken on this human flesh. And so he doesn't just need fellowship with his Father God. As he needs fellowship with men. But he's not really getting that with these other guys at the moment. And so, there he is, and he's speaking with men who knew something of what he was going through, men who could identify with some of his struggles, men who could encourage him. And in that environment, we are told he was transfigured, transformed. You know, it's exactly the same word as in Romans chapter 12, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Exactly the same word. It says that the Peter, James and John are there, they're watching, and Jesus was transfigured, transformed before them. That's what happens. That's what happens when we come together. In that place of unity of purpose and heart, that our purpose is to know God and to see his purposes fulfilled in the earth. That's why we need church, because in that place we're transfigured, we're transformed, we're changed. Hallelujah. I've seen it myself sometimes. I remember a couple of years ago, and a couple of pastors I'd met one before, I hadn't met the other one before, they came and visited me in my office. And we sat down, and as we sat there, within 5 minutes, I felt, wow, this is amazing. These guys really know what I'm going through. They know what... It was like, well, because not everybody in the church understands what leaders go through. The stuff that they face, the challenges that they encounter. And all of a sudden you're sitting with guys who are in the same place, in the same position, who know what it's about. And I felt, wow, this is a bit like Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Amen? Come on. That's why he puts us in the church, so there's people around that we can share fellowship with, that we can draw on, and we can encourage, and we can... Come on. Remember, religion blames the how much less on the sovereignty of God. You know, anything bad happens, well, God's in control. I preached a message a few months ago. Good news. Remember, God is not in control. Shake a few people's religious stuff. See, the how much more, as I said this morning... I said I wasn't going to talk a lot about this word, didn't I? Yeah. Hallelujah. But how much more is determined by us? It's determined by us. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Yes, God is sovereign, but in His sovereignty, He sovereignly determined, sovereignly chose to give us sovereignty, dominion, the right to choose, the right to decide how much. How much more do you want? And so often, when we opt for too, how much less, then God gets the blame. Because, oh, after all, God is sovereign. That's twisted and perverted. Is God sovereign? Of course He's sovereign. But in His sovereignty, He sovereignly chose to give you and I sovereignty. in the earth. Remember, freedom is spelled R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. If that was too fast for you, it's called responsibility. Freedom is responsibility. If God's people came out of Egypt. They came out through the blood. They came out supernaturally. They came out laden down with treasures. They came out completely healed of anything that they were struggling and suffering under in Egypt. They were completely set free, but they never took responsibility to maintain that freedom. Come on. And they never moved on into the fullness of what God had for them. The how much more that God had for them. The land of abundance that he was taking them to, that he promised to take them to, became the how much less of a wilderness mess where they all dropped dead. The whole generation that came out died. How much more became how much less? Why? Because a people neglected to take the sovereignty that God had blessed them with. The responsibility that's attached to freedom. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. We are here on the earth. We have the right to choose how much more. Jesus said, pray this way. We can invite his kingdom to come. His will to be done. We invite him to come. I believe it was John Wesley said that God does nothing on the earth except a man asks him. That's why God always finds a man or a woman before he ever does anything. Go through this record of scripture. He has to find a man or a woman before he can do anything in the earth. Why? Because he gave man dominion in the earth. This might mess a little bit with your religion. Well, let it get messed with.
Hallelujah.
If it's placing a limit on your experience, if it's causing you to live in the how much less instead of the how much more, you need to let it go. You've drifted away from your place of freedom. It's time to drift back again. You've backslidden from your place of freedom. It's time to slide back again. Hallelujah. Amen. We can choose to live under the curse, or we can choose to live in the power of the blessing. We can choose to invite God's purpose and will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, or we can live as the prisoners of a cruel and merciless dictator, a lying devil who claims that he has dominion, that he has the right to do anything that he wants with you. And then he doesn't even get the blame most of the time. God gets the blame. That Hebrew word for dominion means to rule. It means to govern. It means to reign. It means to have power. God said, let us create man and then let them have the right to rule, to govern, to reign, and to have power in the earth. We were saying it tonight. He is Lord. Remember, his name is King of Kings, big K, little K. Lord of Lords, big L, little L. Who are the little K kings and who are the little L lords? You and I are. The only place, as I've said many times, that we don't have dominion is over one another. Why is that the only place we try and take it? That doesn't mean that there are no leaders, but that all leaders are servant leaders. They don't come over the top of people, they come under people. To push them up, not to put them down. 1 Peter 5, Peter says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. You know, when Arthur brought that word about, you know, let the child in you out, and then James began to lead us in that song, you know, but the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads us by still waters, through green pastures, and I thought, wow, I was imagining as a child, with your hand in the Lord's hand going through the green pastures, you know, that beautiful green grass, you might roll around it or something, you know what I mean, or run in it, or, you know, do something, and you pass the still waters, you want to find a wee flat stone, you can do a couple of skimmers, you know, I was just sitting this picture in my mind, hallelujah, of throwing skimmers with the Lord, you know what skimmers are, you know, you see many boom, 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 hallelujah, what excitement, you know. I was 22. Oh no, I'm at 23. Oh well, I'm going to get 24. Hallelujah. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords, little L, over those entrusted to you. The only place you have not been given dominion is over one another. Hallelujah. It's the only place we have not been given dominion. We are to bless one another. Not a boss with another around. But being examples to the flock. Being an example of freedom. Hallelujah. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You're designed to wear a crown of glory. It says in Psalm 8 that man has been crowned with glory and honor by the Lord who gave him dominion in the earth, who created him just a little lower than himself. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But remember, when that dominion that we've been given falls from the spirit, you know when man fell? He fell a long way from his spirit to his soul. That's where he fell from. He fell from living out of the resources of his spirit that was connected to God. He was joined to the Lord, becomes one spirit with him. And he fell it from his spirit to his soul. And all of religion comes out of the soul. Some of it's demonically inspired. Some of it's just get people just like up on their own. Ways of controlling other people. And when the dominion that we've been given falls from the spirit to the soul, it becomes domination. And that's when we think we have the right to control other people, but we have no right. To as many as have received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Hallelujah. When the first man and woman sinned, they fell from the spirit to the soul. And you know what happened immediately that happened? They began to engage in blame shifting. Do you know what blame shifting really is about? It's about gaining an advantage over somebody else. Well, it was them that did it. It was their fault. I would never do a thing like that. It was them. They made me do it. That's to try and present yourself as being better than the other person. And immediately they fell from their spirit to their soul. They began to blame shift and try to gain an advantage over one another before God. Much of what happens in the church is nothing more than people trying to gain an advantage before God over one another. Sad but true. Why? Because people live out of their soul instead of their spirit. They forget that we're all here together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nobody's better than anybody else. And we're all here because of the blood of Jesus. And nothing that we could ever do can add to that. And nothing we could ever do can take away from that. Unless we drift away from that revelation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God apart from the bad choices we make. And even then, we're only separated in our experience. He still loves us. He never stops loving us. His love pursues us. You know that even if you choose to go to hell, God's love will still, he'll still love you just as much. But you'll be separated from that love. But he'll never stop loving you. Hallelujah. And your place will be there in heaven, and you'll never occupy it. The place that he prepared for you. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again so that you might be with me where I am. That place will be there and you'll never occupy it. Because you chose to go your way. You chose even sometimes just to try and, or, you know, maybe bring a little bit of God in and out here and there whenever you felt like it. Hallelujah. Man fell from his spirit to his soul, and within one generation there was competition and strife and even murder between brothers. Is that sad or is that tragic? Within one generation there was competition and strife and even murder. Went as far as murder between. Within one generation of being created perfect in the image of God, being given dominion in the earth, within one generation that had fallen to murder. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when the gospel message is corrupted and robbed of its simplicity, what's the simplicity of the gospel? I believe it's these immutable truths that God wants to save everybody, that he wants to heal everybody, and he wants to deliver everybody. Nice and straightforward, nice and simple. You can't get more simple than that. I believe when that simplicity is perverted and corrupted. Well, Paul put it this way. He said, because there's another Jesus being preached. There's a different spirit attached to that message, and it's a different gospel that's been received and accepted by people. Now, I want to tell you that different spirit is a controlling witchcraft spirit that substitutes domination for dominion, which inevitably causes the how much more to become the how much less. Every time the how much more becomes how much less, you can trace it back to a corrupted, perverted message that's been presented as the gospel of Jesus Christ. And very often that spirit will even employ prayer and prophecy, particularly of the personal variety, to maintain control. Sometimes it will come in a very negative form. Sometimes it will come in a very positive form. Who remembers Micaiah? Ahab's thorn. The only man who stayed faithful to bring a word from God to the king. But the king didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted all of the people who came and told him that everything was okay. Who did, it says God even put a lion spirit in their mouths. But he had Jehoshaphat with him. Old Ahab had Jehoshaphat. You know, Ahab was pretty messed up by that time. His wife had done a number on him. And he bought into all that garbage. And he was still king over God's people. And there was Jehoshaphat with him as well. And Jehoshaphat, he'd hooked up with him and they were going to go into battle together. And Jehoshaphat said, I think we should hear from the Lord about this. 2 Chronicles, I believe, is chapter 18. We'll read it for yourself. And they call all the prophets, and all the prophets come and say, oh yeah, go for it, Ahab, you're the man. You get in there, you'll stiffen them, you'll come back triumphant. And Jehoshaphat, something down the inside of him is like, I don't know, I just don't sound right about this. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else we should hear from? Is anybody else that might have a word from the Lord? And Ahab says, well, there's one other guy, but he never says anything good, so I don't want to even bring him around here right now. Even if God tells you, don't do that, because if you do it, you're going to end up in a disaster. That's good news. That's good news. That's just saved you from disaster. Even if it's whatever, if you wanted to do it, because your flesh is screaming, saying, I want to do it, give me some of that. And the Lord said, don't do it. If you do it, it'll end in disaster. That's good news. I don't know how many times I've sat in front of someone and said, don't do that. It's not going to end well. I don't listen to you. They thought it was bad news. It was good news. And they ran out and did it and they ended up in a disaster. It was good news. I'm not trying to be negative. I was bringing them good news. And Micaiah comes. I don't want to go into the whole story. But I want to tell you, Ahab just went and did what he was going to do anyhow. And what happened? Disaster happened. As the Lord had said. But there was a man there who learned something that day. And Micaiah was an awesome guy. And sometimes you might have to be Micaiah in certain situations. He must have been Scottish with a name like that, eh? Hallelujah. But you know what? There was a man there who learned something that day. His name was Jehoshaphat. You go in a couple of chapters into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And he's leading the people of God and they're under siege basically. The Assyrians and all the other coves are coming against them. A bunch of God's enemies. The enemies of the people of God are surrounding them and are coming against them. And they're in the valley of Baraka and he goes to the Lord. A prophet comes and gives him instruction and says, this is what you need to do. And you know what he says? 2 Chronicles 20:20, he says, believe in the Lord and you will be established. Yeah. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Hallelujah. He learned something that day. You don't just listen to everything that's going on out there. Especially when you recognize, as I said, sometimes people will even try and control you through prophetic words. I've seen people come into church and make a mess with prophecy. They come in and they feed, sometimes they feed rebellion in people. Come on, seen it? That's the ones that come in with that, oh yeah, you know, you shouldn't be doing that anymore, you should be doing this. You should be have the pastor's job. You're obviously much more spiritual than them, thus says the Lord. And sometimes it's really negative. I've seen prophecy used in really quite seriously bad ways. But I want to tell you, this other Jesus, this different spirit, this different gospel, will only ever find an opportunity where there has not been an acceptance of legitimate authority, where there has been illegitimate authority has come in and usurped legitimate authority, usurped true authority. Because true and legitimate authority always sets people free. It sets people free to be everything that they were created to be. But illegitimate authority binds people to an authority figure and leaves them in an inferior position where they're made completely dependent upon that authority figure for direction and for counsel and everything else. I tell you, I've had people who've been in churches where that sort of stuff was active, and they've come to me and said to me, and shared something with me and said, what should I do? I said, that's none of my business. You know, personal stuff. I said, that's none of my business. You don't need me to tell you what you need to do. Where did you learn that? Oh, well, the last church I was in, we had to come to the pastor and the elders and tell them all these things, and then they told us what to do. I said, no. I said, sorry. I said, that's not my place. Do you know what I'm saying? Where are they going? You need to know something. I said, you can go to God and ask him about that. I said, you can take responsibility for that. You don't need me to tell you. Hallelujah. If God showed me that you were making a wrong decision and a wrong choice, and I came to you with that word, and that's a different thing to try and help you. But I said, it's not my bad. These choices, you make them. You need to make these choices. Well, remember the heavy shepherding, as they called it back, and it came out of, you know, the charismatic house movement, church movement, and it became crazy. You know, people couldn't sell a house, couldn't marry anybody, couldn't do anything without the elders' consent. It was lunatic. It was absolutely total witchcraft. I'm not saying it was bad people, but they drifted into this place of just lunatic behavior. Well, they're probably good folks, you know what I'm saying, but they just drifted away. Why? Because the enemy's always looking for an opportunity to suck people away. To say, this is the best way of doing it, guys. This is the way you can maintain control. This is the way you keep the church clean. That's not our business. It's not our business. Instead of being free to make their own choices, these folks have to run everything by their authority and receive their approval. And it's all about approval. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I know what it's like to be desperate for the approval of people in authority. It's a dangerous place. You don't need their approval. And don't get me wrong, it's a thin line here, you know what I'm talking about, but you need to understand, Jesus said it's a narrow road that leads to life. I mean, in every narrow road and loose, there's a big ditch on either side. In some villages, them ditches are pretty wide and pretty deep. I was going through one village the other day with my bus, I thought, and you've only got an inch on either side, you look in the mirrors, you've got nothing to move it, play around with, and the ditch on one side was, I thought, man, if we went into that ditch, we got serious problems. In fact, some of you saw it. There was a pickup in Bragger a couple of weeks ago, and the guy had slid off into the ditch, and his pickup was like that. And you wouldn't have known the ditch was like that. Just looking, he's just kind of overgrown with grass, but he slid into it, and boom, he was right nearly over, completely on his side. Now, what I tell you, it's a narrow road, Jesus said, that leads to life, and there's a ditch on either side. One's legalism, the other's license. You can go into the legalistic ditch, or you can go into the licentious ditch. Paul said, don't take your freedom and use it as a license. But he also said, do not be entangled again with a yoke of slavery, of legalistic slavery and bondage. And there's one way to maintain that. Test every word. I'll tell you how you test the words that are coming to you. Are they bringing a message of freedom to me? Or a message of bondage? Now you could look at Micaiah's word and say, he was bringing a message of freedom. Ahab, if you listen to what God is saying, you'll stay alive. You'll be free from defeat and free from death. But if you choose your own way and listen to every other lying devil that's out there telling you things, glory to God, then today will not end well for you. Hallelujah. I know it's not Shondai, but it's pretty good stuff, actually. I love Shondai. Do you know? Glory to God. like a child, I will dance in his presence. But you know what? Well, I'll maybe get that before we're done. Who knows? You know, we need a place of mutual accountability. You know that, don't you? I need to live my life not just for me. I need to live my life in a way that positively affects you. And I need to be aware of decisions and choices that I make that will negatively affect you. That's calling preferring you over myself. That's me looking out for you, not just for my own interests. That's the message of the new covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need some kind of mutual accountability. We need to make our choices in light of how they will positively or negatively affect those with whom we have a relationship. But when someone comes in over the top of you and tells you, you got to do this or you got to do that or else. You know, God didn't even say to Ahab, or else. God says, I'll give you the right to choose blessing or curse. He said, I'm always going to counsel you. I'm always going to admonish you to choose life and blessing, but you can choose death and curse if that's what you want to do. That's the level of freedom. That's the level of dominion we've been given in the earth. We are not robots. God is not sitting in his sovereignty and moving us around like chess pieces on a board. I know some people believe that. I know some people teach that, but it's not true. It's not true. And it's robbed us of so much of our freedom. And we've made do with how much less instead of accessing the how much more every single day in every situation. Hallelujah. See, when Paul addressed this problem with the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11, he was warning them against false apostles. An apostle is not some hierarchical position in the church that means you're the top guy. The word simply means a sent one. Someone who's sent. So a false apostle, amongst other things, is someone who just went rather than being sent. Or maybe he went off after he was sent off. Maybe he was sent, but then he went off. He was sent off and then went off. Drifted. And I've seen this happen. It's not always bad people. I'm not standing here having a go at anybody. I'm just saying very often it's good people. But they drift. Somehow or other, there's different things happening. And as I said, it's one of that insecurity, that inferiority complex that fails to recognize that every single one of us is exactly the same position and place and potential in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. If you're a son, I'm a son. If you're a daughter, I'm a son. If I'm a son, you're a daughter. You're a son, I'm a son. Come on, we're all sons and daughters. You should never have favorites among your children. Well, you should, but they should all be your favorites. Every one of them should think they're the favorite. Every one of them should be made to feel like they're the favorite. Hallelujah. But they're not any more special than any of the others. But they're all special. Amen. God says we're a chosen generation. We're his own special people. We're that royal, remember that royal priesthood. Not after the Levitic, not the Levitical priesthood, not the Aaronic priesthood, but the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our high priest. All we have, remember, is blessing. We speak blessing and we reach out with blessing. That's all we have. All we have in our mouth is blessing. Blessing, blessing. Ahab, I've got a word of blessing for you. Don't go to battle today. Hallelujah. It will not end well. That's a blessing. You know, Micaiah had nothing in his mouth but blessing for Ahab. Hallelujah. But it wasn't what he wanted to hear. That's the only thing. That was the only problem. It wasn't what he wanted to hear. Now, some people will not listen to anything you say unless it's what they've already decided they want to hear. And then there's nothing else you can do for them but love them. Let your love burn a hole in their back if necessary, but love them. Amen. As they walk away with you, make sure that they feel the radiation of your love pursuing them. Hallelujah. But there's nothing, I said, if you can't reach people with love, they cannot be reached until they choose and decide that they want that love, that they want to respond to that love. We love him because he first loved us, but we didn't. Come on, how many years did we live without responding to that love? And all the time that love was there. Many times, I don't know about you, but I can go back and see all of the times that he demonstrated that love for me. and rescuing me and protecting me and keeping me and providing for me. Yeah, I remember in that old church of Scotland, Manson Burner, and there was an old lady who used to come to the communions, an old blind lady. She came from Harris and she went round to all the communions and she would come and stay in her house for 3 or 4 days. And I was still drinking. Then I'm coming down the stairs, one of these stairs that comes down like that. Then there's a landing, then it comes down again, big white stair. I'm halfway down and there's the blind lady on the landing. She says, "Is that you, Donnie?" I says, "Yes. The Lord told me to give you something." I thought, "The Lord told you to give you something?" And she gave me, I think it was 20 quid or something. And I thought, "The Lord told her to give me this? Surely he knows what I'm going to do with it." He was just reaching out with blessing. He was saying, "I love you. I know what I would like you to do with this, but you have the right to choose what you want to do with this." Several times that happened, and many other instances of God reaching out to bless, when all the time you'd chosen to go your own way. Micaiah was a blessing to Ahab, but Ahab couldn't see it. But Jehoshaphat learned a lesson. You know what a really smart person is? Someone who learns from someone else's mistakes. How often do you hear it? Oh, everybody has to make their own mistakes. No, if you're smart, you don't. A wise man doesn't have to make his own mistakes. He learns from other people's mistakes. Jehoshaphat learned. I need to take hold of what God is saying. It sounds like the craziest strategy I've ever heard, but I believe God is saying it. If we believe God, we will be established in victory today. Hallelujah. If we will believe his prophets, we will prosper in this. What should be our grave will become a place of celebration. Hallelujah. A place of advancing into the life that God has planned for us. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, the false isn't very effective unless it's pretty close to the true. And so when someone is an unsent one, they can often look and talk the part to a large extent. They can look good, they can sound good, just like the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil look good. Look good enough to eat. And it can even become a point where you just, all you can, it looks better than everything else that's around. I mean, Eve is surrounded by trees laden with fruit that God said, "All of it's yours. You can eat from any time you like." Come on. There was even the tree of life. They had the juiciest, choicest fruit of all of the trees in the garden. But no, she starts to look at this other tree, the tree that God said, "Don't touch, don't eat the fruit of that tree, sorry. And she started to look at it, and the more she looked at it, the more it looked better than all of the others. Remember, you can't better the best. You can't better the best. She should have turned away at that point and grabbed one of them juicy bits of fruit off that tree of life. And juice oozing out between her fingers. Glory to God. Out of seeds, hallelujah. Amen. Grab another one. She could have gorged herself on that tree and she'd have done nothing wrong. Hallelujah. She could have satisfied all of her hunger from that tree and done nothing wrong. But she listens to this voice that's saying, no. You need some of this stuff. This is better. You can't better the best. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why you need to stay in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the best. Hallelujah. You know, when you know the Word, you know, the Bible says test every prophetic word. How do you test it? Against the prophetic word that's already been spoken. Do you know what immature people do? They run around looking for a new word. A new word. We want to hear something new. Tell us something new. No more of that old stuff. I want to tell you the Word of God brings new mercy to you every single day. Hallelujah. When people say, "Oh, well, in Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, 'Behold, I will do a new thing.'" You know what? He did it. The new covenant is the new thing. Great. You don't need another new thing. There's more than enough in there. How much more of the new covenant do you want? How much more of everything that it promises you do you want? How much more healing, deliverance, salvation, prosperity do you want? How much more do you want? Come on, how much more do you want? Just ask. You can have it. How much more? I've given you responsibility to ask for it, but how much more do you want? Because you can have as much as you like. How much more do you want? You have freedom to ask. Freedom to come into my presence, the Lord says, anytime you want, because of the blood of Jesus. He's thrown open heaven to you. You can ask for everything that's in heaven to be brought into the earth and made at your disposal right now. Hallelujah. What do you need? How much more do you want? What's the more? Hey? Hallelujah. You see, when that stuff comes, when all of a sudden you start to look at something that you were told one wasn't good, it was going to end in death, and all of a sudden it looks like it's the best thing, it's better than anything else that's around, that's where you need the security of knowing. Remember, God's purpose is what? That we know Him. That we know Him. That we know Him, and that we align ourselves with His purposes in the earth. And it's knowing that you already have the best. And not only do you have the best, but the best has been made abundantly available to you. It's in these times of temptation that you need to be secure in that knowledge and that understanding. That's when that truly kicks in. I've got the best. I mean, you're not going to tempt me away to anything else. I don't care how much better it looks. I've got the best already. Already got the best. And very often, you know, that sometimes those who step into the place of illegitimate authority, if they'd just been more patient, if they'd just been more submissive to legitimate kingdom authority, you know where that manifests? It always manifests through the Holy Spirit's direction within the local church. You hear this morning, this evening? Where are we in? We're still in the rest, aren't we? Hallelujah. We're talking about it today. Glory to God. You need to hear this, and you hear this really good. This is where it manifests. And I'll tell you how it, and you know it, man, you know it's the Lord, because it sets people free. It doesn't hold on to them. It sets them free to be who God designed them to be. Let me give you a perfect example. In the church, the local church at Antioch, it says there was prophets and teachers in that church, and Paul and Barnabas were two of the prophets and teachers that Barnabas had gone and got Paul and brought him back to that church. And there they were in that local church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, and they were included amongst the prophets and the teachers. And it says they were fasting and ministering to the Lord in that place, praying and fasting, ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Get a hold of Paul and Barnabas. I think they've got ideas about leaving this church. Give them a word that tells them they have to stay." No, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Now." Say, "Now." The Holy Spirit said, "Now." They were happy to be there. They were happy to be there for the next 20 years, if that's what the Holy Spirit was saying. But then the Holy Spirit said, "Now, separate them, set them apart for the work to which I have called them." And they released them. That's how you know. But that always happens within the context of the local church. If you're not being sent from a situation where the Holy Spirit has spoken in that way, then you maybe just went and you weren't sent. And you're a little bit out of line. Maybe a little bit goes a long way sometimes in the kingdom. And you've drifted away. So it's time to just drift back. Come before the Lord again. Come before the throne and say, "God, I want it. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I'm content to be wherever you position me." Let God lead you. Let God position you. Let God place you within a local church. And then wait for the Holy Spirit. And if you're still there 20 years later, glory to God, and you know that you're praying and you're fasting and you're ministering to the Lord. Hallelujah. And let God say now. Let God say now is the time to separate them. Now is the time to set them apart and be released. And go in freedom. And you know, Paul and Barnabas, Paul in particular maintained a relationship with that local church. He never let go of that relationship. You came back there, go and look some of these Bibles with maps on them. Oh, Paul's missionary journeys. Have a look. He never lost touch. He recognized that was he had a connection with that church. They were his sending church. Hallelujah. He maintained an accountability, a responsibility to communicate, to report. That's why the church is so fragmented. That's why it's so messed up. That's why it's so back to front. But God says now is the time to turn that thing around. Hallelujah. Jesus started with 12 guys, and one of them didn't turn out so good. But from that group of 11 men, the world was turned upside down. The right way up, even. Come on, because it says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Hallelujah. Remember Lucifer's original purpose as the worship leader of heaven? If he had stood in that place, if he had thought, wow, what a job this is. What a ministry this is. Wow, this is everything to me. If he'd stood in that place, he'd never have been thrown out of heaven. He would have lost everything that he's lost. The tragedy is there's no drifting back for him. The Word of God says that God sent aid unto men, but he never sent aid to the angels who fell. He never made any salvation available to the angels. I don't know why. He knows why. That's in his hands. Nothing to do with me. But he sent salvation to men who fell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No drifting back for him. But thank God there's a drifting back for us. It's not too late for us to drift back. It's not too late for us to slide back. Hallelujah. Amen. Back into alignment. Why would we want to live anywhere else but in alignment with his kingdom purposes? I mean, I'm not saying sometimes it doesn't get frustrating. I'm not saying sometimes you might throw up your hands and go, God, I don't know if I can take any more. I says, I've got more grace. Would you like to come in and get some? Yes, thank you. How much more would you like? As much as you've got. Lay it on me. You see, it never has to, frustration might manifest, but there's an answer, there's a solution, there's a remedy, there's an antidote. It's called grace. It's called supernatural contentment sometimes. Paul said, in whatever state I'm in, I've learned in that place to be content. Hallelujah. We mentioned Elisha this morning. He was, today, not many people would have stuck out what he had to stick out in order to inherit the prophet's mantle. Hallelujah. But he did. And then God said, now's the time. Now's the time. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go much longer with this. Hallelujah. I can tell everybody's really excited about this. Paul and Barnabas, they maintained a relationship with that church in Antioch as they stepped out and as they began to fulfill that apostolic ministry that God had called them to, that God had commissioned for them. You see, false apostles, they lay false foundations that are inferior in quality. And the reason for that is because they themselves are the foundation rather than Christ himself. Paul said there's no other foundation that can be laid but Christ himself. We connect people to that foundation. That's what we're here to do. To get people grounded in him. Not in us. Not in our ministry. Not in our church name or anything else. But to get them grounded in Christ. That's our role. That's our function. Why you call yourself New Wine Church? Well, as good a name as any. I mean, some people who thought, well, we'll just call ourselves the local church. Well, that's fine. As long as it doesn't end up as control. Just because you're the ones with the name. You know what I mean? It's just the church. It's just, you know what I mean? I wouldn't care if we didn't have a name. We then could call ourselves the church with no name. Or somebody else would call us that. Oh, that's the church with no name. So what's the point? New Wine Church is as good a name as any. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the church bit that's important. Hallelujah. I mean, you go into some of these shops and they've got 15 different types of water. Evian. Something this one and that one. You know what I'm talking about? All these different. You go and you say, is water not just water? I'm thirsty. I mean, what water should I have? Oh, just grab a bottle, pay for it. What's the cheapest? Your Scottishness kicks in, hallelujah. What's the cheapest? Your kingdom kicks back and you say, well, maybe I should get the most expensive. Hallelujah. Then you just go for something in the middle. Buy one, get one free. That sounds good. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm thirsty. I need water. You know, it's the church bit that's important. glory to God. False apostles lay false foundations that are established upon them rather than upon Christ. And that means that anything that is built can't stand for very long. It might even go a generation. But it won't last much longer than that. Maybe two. And then it'll probably pretty much have lost its way. And it'll be making do with the how much less. and how much less will be coming less and less. As it gets further and further and drifts further and further away from Christ himself. See, we need to understand this. And there's always confusion surrounding that stuff. And the local church, which is God's plan A, and we've said it over and over again, there is no plan B. It never prospers through that kind of ministry. In fact, the local church is usually hindered by that kind of ministry. They have no legitimate authority because they just went, and the only place where you can truly have authority is the place where you have responsibility, and the place you have stewardship, and the place that's the place that's been given to you by the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, God never told them to plant anything in the wilderness. Why? Because that wasn't the place that he'd given them. Every day he sent manna, every day of that journey in the wilderness, he was faithful in sending them food from heaven. But the day that they crossed over into the land that he had given them, I've heard people say, oh well, God's providing for me, that's because of his love and mercy. Come on. Well, I've got... That's what I'm telling you, that blind lady's reaching out to me. I'm as far away from God's will for my life as you could get. I came home, I was totally backslidden. I came home from Glasgow. I walked into the bank. The bank manager says, can I have your card? I handed him my card and he ripped it in two and he said, that's the end of that then. I'd only been in college for 3 months. I'd spent all my grant. I'd built up a £500 overdraft in 1980. I had maxed out a credit card. And he ripped it up and he threw it in the bin and he said, that's the end of that then. Next day he phoned me up, the bank manager. He says, I've got a friend who might have a job for you. I'm thinking, eh? He says, just go up and see him. I went up to see him. The guy says, well, I've got a job. It'll last a few weeks. I said, well, a few weeks is better than nothing. I worked in two bars before that. Sorry. I lasted 2 weeks in the first one and slightly longer in the second one. And then the bank manager phoned me up and he says, you're not having a lot of luck. He says, I've got a friend. The bank manager. He says, I've got a friend who's got a job. And I went to see him and he came there. He said, it'll last a few weeks. I started that job. After a few weeks, somebody left. I got kept on for the season, 6 months. Then somebody left. I had a job for 5 years until I got married. Hallelujah. The Lord was providing. In that season, I came back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Halfway through that season, God was always providing. Just because God's providing doesn't mean he was providing in the wilderness. See, that still wasn't God's best for me. I was still missing God's plan. This is God's plan for me. I was still missing that. I was still out of sync with that. But he was still providing. But it was wilderness. Now he's saying it's time to plant. Now you're in the right place. Now you're in that position. I've given you this land, so plant in this land. Hallelujah. Does anyone understand? If you're not planting and something's not coming up, then maybe you're not in the right place. If something's not being established, people say, doesn't look like much, but I tell you, something's been established here. Sometimes I think, what in the world possessed us to ever, ever, ever even consider doing what we're doing here? I've heard a demonic voice speak audibly, say, how dare you come into this island and think you can plant a church? So that's what you mean, come into this island? I belong on this island. Hallelujah, lying devil. I'll tell you where it started. It started around someone's dining room table. No, I'm talking about the sending bit. You say, well, were you sent? I said, I was as sent as anybody. It doesn't sound like much, but I'll tell you, it was the Holy Spirit from start to finish. I'm not going into the story now because Katrina is looking at me with that pleading look saying, please don't go into that story right now. So I decided... I was thinking about that scripture today. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I thought, Lord, that seems a bit extreme. Imagine calling your wife a thing. And this is what I got. It says, I said thing because you can put everything in there. She's everything. She's a good timepiece. She's a she get, you know what I mean? She's everything that you need. That's why he said it finds the best thing. You can put everything in there. She's everything that you'll need her to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I thought it was a bit extreme, that word. You don't find a good thing. I don't. Most women wouldn't like to be referred to as a thing. Lord, would they really? Honest? So, but that's what he says, that's what I meant. Hallelujah. She's the best of everything to you. Glory to God. And she's a fantastic timekeeper and reminder that time is marching on. Hallelujah. I've been blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, I've shared a couple of people, and I stopped sharing with many people because they looked at it as if to say, I tell you, for me it was like, wow, God, I love you. God, nobody knew, not even my wife, not even my good thing knew this. That I recognized deep down in my spirit there was something missing in what I'd already started to do. And tonight, God, you corrected that. You did that by your spirit. You caused this to happen. I tell you, we left that place 4,500 miles away, and within 7 weeks, the church began in our house. The church began in our house 7 weeks to the day. 7 years after that, glory to God, God did something supernatural, unbelievable, and reminded me halfway through that seven-week process. Glory to God, he said, go find them diaries that Katrina's been keeping for years. Have a look at the dates. And we began something on a day that was ending in another day, 7 weeks down the road, that was exactly 7 weeks from the day that we were sent out and 7 weeks to the day that the church began. And God said, see, I'm still working on your case. Glory to God. That was 15 years ago. And I tell you, God is saying something is being established. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established in this land. Believe in his prophets and you will prosper. You will see something coming up that will blow you away. God's already given me the what 2014 is the year of, and I can't release it yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I tell you, something is being established. Something is going to prosper in this place because he's given us this land. Took me up Ben Bragger back in 1991. He said, look around you, beautiful clear day. Could see for all around. He'd look around, he said, I'm giving you this land. Go in and possess it. Hallelujah. Blessed. What can you say to something like that? No thank you? No, how much more? He said, how much more do you want? Here you are in Stornoway, knocking around Stornoway. How much more of this island do you want? You can have as much as you want. Hallelujah. Some of you are here, you need to hear that. God wants to speak over your life and send you out from this place to take part of this land. Yeah. Not to come and just listen to me every week. Some of you have been here long enough now if you could catch it, if you'd come into that place of alignment, into that position, maybe we could begin praying and fasting and ministering to the Lord and listen to what he says. As he says, it's now time for so and so to go to such and such to establish a work there. Hallelujah. That's what this church is about. It's not about me trying to get you around me and come on, that's not what it's about. This is about, we've got freedom. But we do it God's way, hallelujah. I believe that with all of my heart. I had to learn that myself, glory to God, and I'm just trying to pass that on to try and help anybody that's listening. Hallelujah. Amen. And anyway, as time is gone, glory to God. I'm not even halfway through yet, but hallelujah, we'll just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the church. I thank you that it's your design. I thank you, Father God, that you designed the church before you created. Lord, you had the church on your heart before any of us was ever created. You made provision for the church. You went to the cross and you made everything available that we would need in abundance, Lord, to be the church. Hallelujah. To be new creation, new covenant people. Within your church. Hallelujah. Lord, and to see your church expanded, your kingdom, Lord, reach the ends of the earth as the church advances with good news, with nothing in its mouth and nothing in its hand but blessing and freedom. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power and yours is the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.